Welcome back to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Let's start the story with April 8th of this year. The Sacramento Metropolitan Arts Commission, SMAC as it's known, sent a plea to the city manager to dedicate more funding for the arts in the city's upcoming budget. The commission suggested a base amount of $2.2 million for the next fiscal year, with an additional $6 million from the special Measure U sales tax funds. Then on April 24th, the city manager, Howard Chan, released the draft budget for the upcoming year, and the proposed arts budget was $800,000. About a week later, on April 30th, there was a budget committee hearing, and the members heard passionate testimony from a number of artists and arts advocates. Needless to say, this debate continues, and it's gotten to the point where some artists are now questioning whether the mayor is with them in the way that he promised he would be. So we thought that today we would hear from some artists themselves. Liv Moe is in the studio with me. She's the founding director of Verge Center for the Arts. She is an artist and an art professor at Sacramento City College. Hi, Liv.
Hi, Beth.
Glad to have you here. Also, Joya Fonda is here. She is an artist who came to the Sacramento area almost 20 years ago. She's a professor of painting and drawing, also at Sacramento City College. Hi, Joya.
Hi.
We had hoped that we would have Brian Valenzuela joining us. He had to change his plans, so I'm glad to say that Gail Hart is on the phone. Gail is sometimes affectionately called the godmother of contemporary art in the region. And Gail, thanks a lot for the last-minute change.
Oh, sure, Beth.
Glad to have you here. So, Liv, what would you add to what I just described that brought us to this point in time?
Well, it seems like the determination for what the city's actual commitment to the arts is going to be is somewhat of a moving target. There's been a lot of numbers that have been thrown around over the last couple weeks as this process has continued to evolve. And I think from my standpoint, one of the things that's been a little bit frustrating is there isn't just a straightforward commitment to say we see the value of this and we're willing to invest in it, especially after all of the, not hearings, but public meetings, cultural planning, everything that's gone on. There isn't this recognition of the arts as an asset to the degree that you would actually invest in it versus other city amenities.
Gail, you went through a lot of this process in being chosen for a public installation at the Golden One Center, and you've heard then years of this debate. Where are we right now in what you believe the city's commitment is?
Well, as Liv said, I don't know. I don't really know. I know that downtown was kind of energized by artists throughout the decades, and so this is kind of like, wait, what? And I really don't know where the mayor stands with us right now. And I'm wondering if, you know, what's the incentive at this point for a younger artist to stay here when the rents are so high and they're equal to the rents in bigger cities? So why not go where there's more opportunity? I mean, when I talk to younger artists, I'm not sure what to say right now.
So let's listen to something that the mayor did say in that April time frame that I laid out. He was on Insight. It was April 16th, so it was before the budget came out. And Joya, when we come out of this, I want you to add your comment to the perspective. But this is what Mayor Daryl Steinberg told me.
I am absolutely committed to building and funding arts as a main strategy for what I call inclusive economic development, because arts is every bit as important as sports.
Every bit as important as sports.
That's music to my ears. But I don't know that I believe that, given what we're funding in the city and what our, you know, what we've been funding in terms of an arena and now a soccer stadium, in part with city. As an educator, I'm always thinking about, like Gail said, my younger students and their futures here in Sacramento. And if it's viable, and, you know, I'm already working within an educational system that in some ways devalues an art degree or the future of somebody who's pursuing art. And I'm honest, it's hard no matter what, however you slice it, it's going to be a tough road. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't train people to pursue that path. The city, you know, I feel like what the work we do at the community college level, the university level, goes hand in hand with our economy. And so the city does have work to do in terms of welcoming these workers and finding, you know, creating an environment where they will want to stay and continue to contribute. He talks about inclusivity, and a place like Sacramento City College serves a wide variety of people. And I think that many of the much-needed systemic changes to the art world, whether we're talking the micro art world of Sacramento or the larger, broader art world of the United States or internationally, the changes that we need to see will start in places like Sacramento City College and like Sacramento. We have this diverse population, but we need to offer them opportunity. And opportunity comes in many forms. It's easy to get bamboozled. $2 million sounds like a whole lot of money. You know, $50 sounds like a lot of money to me. But, you know, $2 million in the greater scope of a city budget for a city this size with a mayor talking the way he's been talking, it's not a great amount of money.
Gail, I want to go back again to that time of talking about public art installations when the Golden One Center was being built, and how regional artists and their work were really being raised up. There was a groundswell both in sort of protest and advocacy and attention and grants that were going to be created. And now did all boats rise to at least some level that's being sustained, or are we in kind of an ebb of the tide? Are we going back down to a lower point again?
Yeah, I don't know. I just had these expectations from the mayor, and you know, our previous mayor, he was really supportive of the arts, and it showed. And there was a lot of energy going on around the arena, around different things, different ideas that are still in the making for Sacramento. And so, yeah, it was a really exciting time when I was doing the arena. There was a lot of debate. There was a lot of this, but there was just a lot of energy going into the arts. And yeah, it's definitely different now. What kind of major city that Sacramento wants to be, who takes away art funding? I mean, if San Francisco or L.A. or New York or someplace else did this crazy move, the citizens would just laugh at them, like, really?
I'm talking with Joya Fonda. That's Gail Hart. Also, Liv Moe is here. I think we have to explain a little bit more about the numbers, Liv, and why it looks like money is being taken away. And in the city of Sacramento, Howard Chan, as the city manager, raises up the budget, and the mayor is essentially one vote with the city council. We don't have a strong mayor initiative. So that's some of maybe why we have the discrepancy we have. We reached out to Howard Chan for a comment about this, and I'm hoping that we can talk to him at some other point in the future. We don't have a comment for today. But let's talk about why Gail just said that. Who takes away funding for the arts?
Well, I think that brings up a really good point. I think given the fact that the mayor is just one vote, we don't have a strong mayor model. I think in order to advocate for what we want to see in the city, you're talking about a multi-pronged advocacy approach. So reaching out to Daryl is a great idea, but it's only one part of it. You also need to connect with your city council person and let them know this is something they value, because they're going to feel more comfortable advocating for it. And then also to reach out to Howard and Michael Yasso, the assistant city manager. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are collaborating to make this decision. It's not just one figurehead or one leader. And I think the other thing that is really worth pointing to, I think that everybody, you know, council people, I think Daryl, I think that all of us together have aspirations for what we want to see Sacramento be. I think we all want what's best. I just think there still needs to be that leap made to understand what this actually looks like and what an investment like that looks like. And something that I spent a lot of time looking at before coming on this morning was the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study that was done a couple years ago. And there are hard numbers that point to the sorts of economic development that happens when you invest in the arts. So it's not like it's all just a touchy-feely thing. I mean, even as it sits right now, there's $166 million annually that's generated both by the institutions and by patrons that are spending money in communities that are patronizing the arts. So, you know, I think that there is a value added. I think it's just getting all the players on the same page to understand what we're investing in and how it is that we're going to move forward.
In that letter requesting funding, SMAC asked for an additional $6 million from the special Measure U sales tax funds. I want to talk a little bit about Measure U because the mayor talked about that money going into a bigger equity fund and that the arts would share in that equity fund. Again, I'm going to go back to that Insight conversation he and I had on April 16th, and here's a bit of what he said about the concept at that time.
I talked about using some of the Measure U money as a repayment source for what I call the capital equity fund, right? To use some of the ongoing money to actually create capital. If we have hundreds of millions of dollars worth of capital, we can both create a housing trust fund and an arts endowment. Why not? We can do big things here. We don't have to think about $500,000 at a time or $1 million at a time.
So, Liv, let me go back to you on that question of where the mayor is and where he seems to be going. And Measure U is an important pivot point because the arts wouldn't be the only group saying, wow, I thought those Measure U funds might come our way. Maybe they have to go instead to pensions and debts.
Right. And I think that's part of the messiness of the conversation that's happening right now. I think, first of all, in terms of arts investment, I think many of us, myself included, had this idea that once the economy recovered, because a lot of the cuts that have happened to arts funding over the years were due in part to the recession. And so I think there were a lot of us who believed that once the economy recovered, we would see this reinvestment in arts and probably a lot of other departments across the city that were cut during that time period. So one of the things that's been shocking to me is that now that we're back in good times, this isn't getting restored. And I think some of the things that Daryl's talking about in terms of an investment in the community could happen simply by just restoring funds to the annual operating budget for the arts. And a fairly small investment reaps pretty big returns where art's concerned. I think the flip side of this in terms of Measure U, you know, I think that a lot of people have really high hopes for Measure U, but the problem is there's so many people that are going to be going to Measure U, and in the end, it's really not going to be a huge amount of money every year once you have a lot of different people, a lot of different stakeholders looking at that source of revenue.
Gail, if there's $2.2 million in the budget as a base arts amount, and then another $6 million, as SMAC asked for, from Measure U funds, you know, a little over $8 million. What does that do in the city, for example? Where is the money being spent in the city's arts budget?
Well, I would think for one great thing that this funding goes to is to Verge, to keep Verge, you know, I don't know what percent, you'll have to ask Liv that, but one of the things it does is it helps us have open studios here in Sacramento. So it's not directly coming, but, you know, it's a way that we get funding, or that Verge gets funding, so that we can have things like that. And open studios, that's the thing that keeps artists going in town and gets them to progress, is because we can bring the public in to see what we do. And it's a big event in Sacramento. It goes for grants. You know, I received back years ago when I was an emerging artist a few grants from the city. You know, I don't know where all the money goes. All I know is that the arts need funded. That's just it. And the people in charge know what that means and how much that is. And I have definitely benefited my whole career. And if it wasn't for the Golden One Arena, I would not be where I am right now with my career. So public art funding is just essential for us to develop.
I'll let everybody know, because they probably walked past your art and didn't even know it at times, but your public installation of the game of darts sits outside the Golden One Center and throughout the downtown Commons area. It's called Missing the Mark, and I just wonder how many times it's been in selfies or photograph scale. I didn't realize that it alone had been so pivotal in your career.
Yes, for sure. It's allowed me to apply to other cities other countries for public art, because you kind of have to have some experience before you go after these things. And I've gotten work from it. I've gotten other opportunities right now from it. So, yeah, it is a major part of my career.
Joya, in teaching students, how much of the wrestling match with funding, which is inherent in the arts world anyway, is known and understood by students? Does it inhibit their future choices when they're really motivated to want to create?
Well, I think that there's been a couple of things happening that are recent. I mean, there's this kind of democratization of the art market. So people can sell things through other platforms like Etsy. And I think that, you know, the broader conversation about galleries is changing. Like, you know, galleries are using art fairs as a vehicle to sell the work rather than brick and mortar stores. But those dialogues that are happening at a larger level, we still need, you know, galleries, you know, at the street level here in Sacramento. There's still things that don't change that are in flux, I guess, or that, you know, I think that there's things about the larger model of the art world that are worth looking at and understanding. But we also don't need to repeat their mistakes. We can invent something new, and I think, or slightly different, or modify it for our economy and our, you know, our artist here. So I think that, you know, I find myself in lots of conversations about them, just explaining basic differences between what a gallery is, what a museum is, how they function, how galleries make money, and why we, you know, how few we have, and that's partly due to collectors and how we generate collectors and what happens when you have an artist-run space or a nonprofit space or a hair salon that sells paintings. What are the differences there, and what should you be asking for as an artist, and what should they be delivering as a gallery? So there's a lot of very basic education that I try to address to my students. But, you know, some of these spaces, like, we don't have very many not-for-profit art spaces that are exhibiting work. The city doesn't have its own gallery where it exhibits local artists. So it's not just public art. They fund nonprofits, and those nonprofits do activities that reach other communities and have a more specified and targeted audience. It's sustained funding that they can depend on, and so they can think long term. It's a lot for a nonprofit art space or an artist-run art space to constantly be applying for grants and doing fundraising. They lose a lot of their own creative bandwidth when they're trying to sustain that way. So city funding goes a long way.
The Verge Center for the Arts, Liv, is an artist residency here. But with what Joya just said, is it unusual that we don't have a city gallery exhibiting local art?
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, like City Hall. I know there's rotating exhibitions in City Hall. But I think that, you know, yeah, there's not like a standalone exhibition space for art in the city. And I think some of the things that are interesting to me when I talk to stakeholders and other people in the city in terms of what a commission would look like if it was more robust and funded, you know, you don't have to go very far. I mean, just San Jose, San Francisco, there's a few, you know, examples within driving distance of commissions that also fund exhibition space and micro grants to artists, you know, things that contribute to an ecosystem that is multifaceted and not just
right.
One or two things, which is through the recession what we've come to expect here.
We only have a few minutes left. I do want to talk about the Creative Edge Cultural Arts Plan and the Creative Economy Grants, because that was supposed to be a roadmap for how to have a successful cultural arts community, and it validated the importance of arts education. There's a lot of question about the grants going away. Are they going away? Were they appropriate in the way that they were used? And I just quickly want your thoughts. I know City Hall is listening to this conversation. This is only meant to be the beginning of a longer conversation that will include city leaders as well. But what about the Creative Edge Plan and the grants, Liv?
I think the Creative Edge Cultural Plan is going to be essential to where the city sees itself in the next 5 or 10 years. I think one of the biggest problems we have here is cultural equity in terms of our cultural institutions, and that needs to change. And I think without something like the Creative Edge Cultural Plan, those sorts of investments are not going to be made in a long-term, methodical, and meaningful way. I also think that something that I've seen repeatedly over the last 10 years in Sacramento is this putting people in charge of cultural endeavors, cultural leadership that aren't educated or savvy in those fields. And so what I would love to see is them bringing somebody in, some real leadership that understands what needs to happen, invest in those people, and see this really turn around. I think it's going to pay dividends to the entire region that will just continue moving forward. I mean, this is an investment that's going to make this whole city better.
Gail, would you add in, and in particular in those creative economy grants that for some people were, you know, a huge infusion to get $5,000 or even $1,000, and then to have the grants go away in some cases because some people believe that you need sustainable funding, not one-time amounts?
Well, you know, personally, Trent Dean, an artist here in Sacramento, received one of those grants, and he does work for me from time to time, and he benefited from it. And man, I saw the excitement in this young man, and I just see that it doesn't take much to really generate an excitement and a motivation in an artist. So what we're asking for isn't that much, and it's well deserved. Like I said, Sacramento was built and energized from artists, so. And I agree with Liv. We need savvy people in, you know, doling out and speaking for us.
So one final thought, Joya, where do we go from here? What's the conversation in the artist's world that you're talking to and involved in right now?
Well, I think I'm very interested in if the city will find an arts leader that is committed, well-educated and creative, and that they trust them and fund them. I would really like to see that. I've seen it work in other cities, and it would be valuable to have. I received a creative economy grant, and I think it was wonderful to have. I think that it's important for the city to fund arts at many different levels, you know, small micro projects, bigger projects, and then larger things like organizations. It does energize the community when there's an opportunity that's out there that you know you can apply for. If you don't get it, I mean, I talked to a lot of people about navigating rejection because that's just a very real part of being an artist. And so, you know, part of the line with that creative economy grant was if you didn't get one this year, you can apply for it again next year. And it's a little bit like, you know, Lucy with the football when they take away this program that everyone was excited about and that you got to see your fellow artists participating in, and then you thought, yeah, oh, now I got an idea for what I would do next time, and then there is no next time. And that's, it just feels like we showed up to a whole lot of meetings, we shared our thoughts, we shared our wisdom, we shared our knowledge, and I mean, hours of meetings.
And work to get colleagues excited.
And work to
and
get
people
colleagues,
who had
yeah.
been disenchanted from past experience.
Yeah, and I advocated on the platform that the city is ready to support us. I advocated as an educator that the city is ready to support this endeavor, and so we better catch up as educators. And all this, you know, there's all this talk about arts education, but with all the arts educators I know, and I know people K through 12 to college level, I haven't heard the city talking to them. So I wonder where all this arts education is going to materialize from.
All right, I want to hold it right there because that's a good cue for us needing to hear from the city next. And that will be the next conversation. Hopefully we can hear from the city manager, Howard Chan, on his draft proposal. Gail, I want to thank you for joining us today. I always appreciate having your voice in a public forum.
Thank you.
That is Gail Hart. You can see her work by a link on our website or also outside the Golden One Center. Liv, Mo, always a pleasure, too. Thank you so much for being here today. Joya Fonda. And we'll post links as well to Verge and the arts of everybody involved in this conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And this is Insight on CAP Radio.